making him extremely polite but completely unreadable. Seki could not help but feel a little out of place in such a formal atmosphere.
"I heard you were looking for me," asked Mimura.
The meeting was nothing like what Seki had initially imagined, and he was not sure why the formalities were necessary.
"Yes," said Seki cautiously.
Then he remembered Cage's warning about staying in character and thought it was best that he got it over with as fast as possible. He handed Mimura the wooden box.
"Cage asked me to give this to you."
As Mimura took the box and slowly studied it, the room fell into a moment of stiffening silence. Seki waited. Another uncomfortable half a minute passed.
"I should, leave," Seki began, breaking the silence.
Mimura looked up with a very slight smile and suddenly seemed to have decided that he wanted conversation after all.
"Where are you from, Seki-san?"
Seki hesitated.
"Kakura Village?" he ventured.
Whether that was a satisfactory answer or not, Mimura's face betrayed a reaction.
"Well, how did you come across this man, Cage?"
"It was by chance. He just, attracted my attention." Seki then explained the encounter in as few words as he could.
"And you just agreed, even when he was a complete stranger?"
Seki was not sure what the man actually meant by that. In the end, he just nodded.
"Did he promise you anything?"
"No." Then Seki remembered and added with a small chuckle, "Only to make my life miserable if I gave the box to someone else."
Mimura laughed.
"Very well." He clapped twice, and a door behind him slid open, revealing a man sitting on the floor who seemed to have been there for a long time. Seki was surprised to see it was Hatsuo, level 22, the rugged man from earlier. Hatsuo came in, sat down beside Mimura. He was holding a black tray, in the middle of which lay a single small pale orange cloth bag that looked rather heavy. The contents of the bag clinked gently as he put down the tray.
"This is as you have ordered, Mimura-sama,"
Hatsuo said in a manner full of deference. Mimura turned to Seki, gesturing to the bag.
"Please accept a gift from Ichikea as a token of our appreciation for your service."
"Thank you for your service to Ichikea, Seki-san,"
Hatsuo chimed in, sounding very sincere. He bowed politely, causing Seki to hastily bow in return, out of instincts from having taken years of Aikido. Ever since he had entered the inn, Seki had felt certain that things did not make sense, and now he was starting to put together what had happened earlier, from when Hatsuo approached him at the table and that incident with Fuyu.
"It was all an act," said Seki slowly as thoughts pieced together in his head. "That whole thing earlier was just a show."
Now he was certain it had been a test of some kind, though of what still remained unclear to him. Seki gave Mimura a questioning look. Mimura smiled. This time, seemingly genuinely pleased.
"Hatsuo here works for me. So does Fuyu. You must understand that, with the kind of business we run here at Ichikeya, we need to take necessary precautions. The second floor of Ichikeya is a private territory," Mimura explained further. "Only people we trust are allowed here. When Fuyu realized you were telling the truth, she decided you could not have been a spy." He paused for a moment, perhaps for dramatic effect. "Or an assassin." It took Seki half a second to recognize the man was not joking.
"Assassin?"
"But even if you were," Mimura continued, his voice still polite and pleasant, "we were prepared. Hatsuo was right outside from the beginning."
One more thing now became clear to Seki. He realized Mimura had purposely spent a long time pretending to look at the box to give him a chance to attack, if that had been his intention.
"And there is always another level of precaution," Mimura said, gesturing to Seki's right-hand side.
Seki almost jumped off his cushion as he turned to look. A man clad in all black was less than a foot away from him. Junbei of Ichikeya, level 20. A man with pale, beady eyes holding a bared dagger in his hand. He'd appeared so silently that Seki had taken no notice.
"Ninja's camouflage,"
Seki reminded himself as he drew in a long breath. Cage's words made sense now. These people were dead serious. Mimura seemed to be enjoying Seki's reaction.
"Well, Seki-san," said the samurai, "I hope we meet again, hopefully as a customer next time. We deal in rare goods."
He then waved his hand at Hatsuo, who took the cloth pouch from the tray and presented it to Seki with both hands, his head bowed. Now that it had come to this, Seki thought it would be impolite not to accept.
Then, as if orchestrated, the door slid open with Fuyu behind it, ready to show him out. Seki could feel Nomura's eyes on his back as the door closed behind him. The man was absolutely like nothing he had expected.
"Well, that went well,"
said Fuyu in a soft sing-song voice, perhaps to herself. Seki could not tell whether she was pleased or disappointed. As Seki followed her down the corridor, curiosity got the better of him. "Did you get a lot of assassins?" The fact seemed rather far-fetched.
"Oh, yes,"
said Fuyu casually.
"People are always making attempts at Mimura-sama's life. So I'd say about twice a week."
"Oh," was the only thing Seki could say. Then, after wondering for another moment, he muttered, "Why would they even want to do that?"
"Fame, maybe. Or to get their name on the public records. You know, now that Mimura-sama is a prominent figure, everyone wants to get his name on their kill list."
She shrugged. "Kill list?" Fuyu ignored the question and went on.
"Or maybe they want to take over Ichikeya."
She stopped and turned to him.
"You're new to the city, so you might not know this, Seki-san. If someone manages to kill all of us, they can claim our territory. The second floor of Ichikeya is highly coveted. Do you know why?"
"No."
"You will soon,"
said Fuyu with a wink.
"See, Seki-san? That's how I realized you really didn't know anything. You're probably wondering why we have to be so cautious when you're still so inexperienced. You see, once you're in, you can always invite someone else in, so we had to make sure you weren't sent by any of our enemies."
They made their way back down the stairs, and Seki found himself in the lively crowd again, amid sounds of laughter and clinking plates and cups. "You have left the Ichikeya private territory. City combat rules apply. PvP status enabled." Seki thought of something. "I have to pay you for the dessert earlier," he said. He was sure Mimura had given him some money in the orange pouch. Fuyu shook her head.
"Food is on the house for anyone who has business with Mimura-sama, and I do hope you come back as a customer soon."
She gave a slight bow.
"Remember, Seki-san, everything has a price. That's our business motto. If you want something, for the right price, we can get it for you."
Seki was about to take his leave when an angry yell burst out from the crowd. "There you are!" Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, one of the ninjas that had been after Cage at Manji's house, had been sitting at a table, and now that he had spotted them, he showed himself. "Get Mimura down here!" Taka barked, pointing with the crescent glaive in his hand. The crowd in the inn had now gone silent as they observed the development. Seki then realized the man did not recognize him, but was talking to Fuyu, who did not seem at all flustered.
"Unfortunately, Mimura-sama is not in,"
she said.
"Perhaps come back another time, ninja-san?"
"I know he's here," said Taka, "and I know he has something that belongs to the Shadow Manor."
Fuyu pretended to think.
I wonder what that could be.
Seki wondered the same thing, but he had guessed that whatever the ninja was after was in that box he had just delivered to Mimura. Fuyu cocked her head.
"I really can't think of anything, ninja-san. You might have to come back later and ask Mimura-sama himself if he has something of yours."
Everyone could tell she was just teasing him.
"I challenge the Ichikeya," cried Taka furiously.
The crowd gasped and buzzed alive. Seki did not know what it meant, but he knew it was important.
"Oh, you're that serious, ninja-san,"
said Fuyu, a mysterious expression playing on her lips.
"I accept the challenge on behalf of Ichikeya."
The crowd whooped in approval of a brewing spectacle. People started to get up from the tables as they cleared out of the middle of the room. Taka scoffed.
"You're not even..."
"You forget that I have this young man with me,"
Fuyu interrupted, nodding toward Seki.
"Together, I believe both our levels combined are good enough to accept your challenge."
Seki just remembered that he was still in a group with Fuyu.
"Wait!
Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, has challenged the Ichikeya territory. Fuyu has nominated you and Fuyu, level 15, to accept the challenge on behalf of the territory. If victorious, the challenger claims the right to enter the territory for the next 15 minutes. Seki looked at the challenger. "Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, HP 2852 of 2852.
"This is impossible,"
whispered Seki. At the very best, his special ability dealt 55 damage, and he was certain any move from the ninja would immediately rid him of his meager 120 HP. Fuyu herself had less than half the opponent's health, and he had no idea how she would fare alone against the man. All of a sudden, Fuyu turned to Seki in alarm. her little hands clutched tightly to his sleeves, her eyes widened in fear.
You wouldn't expect me to deal with this man all alone, would you, Seki-san?
No, of course not, said Seki before he realized what he just did. You and Fuyu, level 15, have accepted the challenge on behalf of the Ichikea territory. Fuyu giggled and let go of him. Her demeanor changed again as she turned back to face Taka. Seki wanted to kick himself for falling for her act.
Now, ninja-san,
she said, pouting, her hands waving the tails of her obi up and down.
You wouldn't expect Fuyu-chan to duel you in this dress, would you?
Taka grunted.
Fine, put on your gear.
Claps and whistles burst from the crowd in support of Fuyu, who seemed to know her well. Seki had no idea why they were getting so excited.
Thank you, ninja-san.
Fuyu gave a little bow to Taka, then added,
Don't kill my helper here while I change.
Before Seki could say a word, she disappeared upstairs. The crowd now had gathered tightly around the edge of the room, leaving an open space in the middle. More people were looking in through the window. Seki felt like he was in a fighting ring again, but this time a hopeless one. Taka was staring at him in an expression of slight confusion, as if he too thought it was a ridiculous setup.
Are you their new recruit or something?
No.
Then why are you mixed up in this?
Seki sighed as he made a solemn decision. I might have played a part in the whole thing, he said. Even when he did not know who was right or wrong or how the game was supposed to be played, he felt like he could not simply pretend to be an innocent bystander.
What?
I delivered the box to Mimura, said Seki.
Taka's eyes narrowed.
You're Cage's friend?
No.
Then why?
He asked me to.
Taka scoffed.
Don't think I won't kill you.
Don't think I'll let you kill him that easily,
said Fuyu, who had reappeared at the top of the stairs. She had changed into a set of matching dark purple leather complete with a black veil that covered the lower half of her face. A thin sheathed blade was thrust through her obi. Seki realized then that she was also a ninja. Murmurs rose in the crowd, and Seki noticed everyone had their eyes on her, including Taka. It took Seki another second to grasp they were all admiring her gear. He followed suit and focused his attention. Enchanted black cloth veil, plus 44 defense, plus 2% HP. Silver threaded leather bodyguard, plus 69 defense, plus 3% HP. Tetsumori obi, plus 33 defense, plus 3% energy regeneration. Silver dagger, plus 55 attack, plus 1% HP recovery. Seki only got that far before Fuyu spoke again, still addressing Taka.
Always keen to pick on weaklings, aren't you? You know he won't even survive a single hit. How much honor is that going to give you, ninja-san? I'm sure you'll really be proud of yourself.
Fuyu-san, Seki interrupted her, stepping forward. Fuyu looked at him in surprise. Seki knew she was only trying to provoke the man into attacking her and leaving him alone, but that somehow made him feel uncomfortable.
I had a hand in this, so it's only fair if he wants to kill me.
Taka stared at Seki in equal mixes of disdain, disbelief, and amusement. Then he scoffed.
Don't worry, I will.
Fuyu burst out laughing, her voice ringing clear.
Very well, then.
She turned to Seki with a wink.
Watch and learn, Seki-san.
Chapter 6.
As soon as she finished her sentence, Fuyu made a quick dash toward Taka, her decorative purple sleeves fluttering. However, right before she reached him, she vanished into thin air. She was now behind her target.
This is our first ability, Shadow Strike.
Taka had anticipated the move, and he spun around, lifting his glaive to counter her. Obviously, Fuyu had also expected this counterstrike, and she made no attempt to hit him. She just leapt backward. She added,
Which we get when we make the pledge at the Ninja Shrine of Shadows, replacing Focused Strike. Then after that, we get our area ability.
Her left hand shot out.
Shurikens,
she announced, and small metal stars flew out from her sleeves.
Not very strong, but has a decent range and can hit multiple targets.
Taka dodged the projectiles, which buried themselves into the floor. The man then spun around and threw his silver glaive at her. The weapon flew out of his hand like a bird of prey.
And this is the spinning blade, as to be expected,
said Fuyu, ducking low as the circular blade whisked over her through the air in a curved trajectory. Seki jumped out of the way as the glaive clipped the edge of a wooden pillar at the beginning of the staircase, sending splinters flying in every direction.
Just like how it looks, it's quite lethal,
Fuyu said.
But it uses up a lot of energy. We'll be sure to see a lot more of it, since it is this particular ninja-san's favorite move.
Seki knew she was calling out the ability name so he could look them up if he needed to, and demonstrating the whole repertoire of what ninja abilities he would need to look out for, but at the same time she was also trying to annoy Taka, which apparently was working rather well. Be quiet, Taka cried in anger. With his weapon still whirling in the air, he flung a hail of shurikens at Fuyu, who flipped a table over with a kick and dived behind it. Fuyu's voice could still be heard over the loud noises of the shurikens digging into the wood.
Then?
She bounded from behind the table.
Poison dart!
She cried, her right hand shooting forward. The glaive had flown around the room like a boomerang and had now returned to Taka, who quickly caught it and raised it to block her dart. The clank of metal against metal rang clear and the projectile dropped to the floor. Seki realized, almost at the same time as Taka did, that it was not a dart but a single shuriken.
Oops!
Fuyu giggled. By this time, her left hand had already tossed out the real poison dart, which struck Taka on the shoulder.
Now that's the right one,
said Fuyu.
How silly of Fuyu-chan,
she said innocently. Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, HP 2850 of 2852, poisoned. Energy, 762 of 1512. Taka pulled out the dart and tossed it onto the floor. With a roar, he dashed toward Fuyu, his glaive slashing forward. Fuyu jumped onto a table.
Don't move too much, ninja-san. That will only help the poison spread faster.
Taka shot another wild bout of shurikens. Fuyu leapt aside but could not manage to avoid all seven, and one grazed her leg as it flew past. The wound did not seem serious, although it still did significant damage. Fuyu of Ichikea, level 15. HP 1349 of 1432. Energy 112 of 676. Now both ninjas were running low on energy for special moves. Fuyu fled from the attacks, jumping from table to table. Taka's circular blade slashed at her, gradually destroying furniture along the way. Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, HP 2792 of 2852, poisoned. Energy 595 of 1512. The poison seemed to slow Taka's movements somewhat, but his health was dropping much too slowly for it to even be a close match. Seki was sure that one direct hit from Taka would take at least half of Fuyu's remaining health. The ninja girl was still talking casually.
Then, after that, we have camouflage, which can drop you out of combat but is useless in such a tight space like this, so I guess we can count that out.
They had run in a complete circle, and Fuyu teetered on the edge of a table for a moment before she leapt down and, turning the opposite direction, dashed past Taka. She threw another shuriken at him, which he blocked again with his glaive.
After that comes sense,
Fuyu was saying,
which is why people like having ninjas in dungeons. Ninja-san, I know you have modified yours into hypnosis, but how unfortunate that it only works against monsters. So we can count that one out, too.
Seki was not sure how she knew all this. Taka seemed surprised, too, and it appeared to greatly bother him. The ninja cursed at her and launched his glaive again with spinning blade, sending the weapon whisking in a large oval in the air. Taka of the Shadow Manor. Level 19, HP 2724 of 2852, poisoned. Energy 449 of 1512. Fuyu threw herself flat on a bench to dodge the spinning sword. At this time, Taka lunged forward. He had unsheathed his secondary weapon, a dagger, and was now holding it high in a precise aim at her chest. Seki rushed at the ninja and used his focused strike, which connected on Taka's hip. It did very little damage but threw him off his target, giving Fuyu enough time to spin around and land a strike on Taka's wrist. The dagger flew out of his hand. Taka's leg kicked out, and Seki, not daring to take a hit, rolled to the other side. Fuyu leapt down from the bench at Taka, her palm ready to strike down on his throat. The glaive, which had been flying through the air, had made a complete circle, and Taka reached out to catch it. With the blade once again in his grasp, and faster than Fuyu could reach him, he made a slash at her. Fuyu had just come down from the table. There was no way she could avoid the vicious attack in time. Seki spun and landed another focused strike on Taka's weapon arm. That was sufficient to delay the slicing motion, and Fuyu could flip herself in a mid-air somersault before landing in safety a few feet away. At first, Taka had paid Seki no attention, but after two consecutive disruptions, he glared at him and cried out in annoyance, "You bastard!" He brought his silver glaive down on Seki's head. Fuyu's energy had recharged enough for her to throw a single shuriken. A clang sounded as metal hit metal again, giving Seiki just enough time to scramble to his feet. Another shuriken hit Taka's side. Before Taka could react, Fuyu kicked out at him again. The man rolled behind a chair. Giving him no respite, Fuyu flew forward and kicked the chair at him. As Taka blocked with his arm, she disappeared with her shadow strike. She popped up again behind Taka, landing a palm on his back. Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, HP 2409 of 2852, poisoned, energy 613 of 1512. Taka staggered but turned his disequilibrium into a spin. The ninja was about to use another special move when Seiki threw himself at him again. At level 6, Seiki's energy allowed almost 3 consecutive special abilities, which meant that he could use another focused strike now. It only did about 30 damage, but Seiki had a plan. As soon as the hit landed, derailing Taka's aim, Seiki twisted around and held on tight to Taka's lower body. The ninja struggled, unable to free himself. His foot bumped into Seiki's leg. It was a feeble hit that would have been completely negligible in the real world, but because of their large difference in levels, Seiki felt a strong, numbing impact as if it had been a full-blown blow. His HP instantly dropped by a third. Seiki did not let go. Fuyu was trying to stomp the glaive out of Taka's hand when the ninja struck out at her, forcing her to retreat. She was obviously aware of the level difference and dared not take direct hits. As she was still low in energy, she could only use normal attacks, and for a moment she could not get close. Taka thrashed about as he tried to break free, but his legs were trapped. Seiki had now positioned himself at an angle safe from his blows. Suddenly, the man disappeared from underneath Seiki. A cold realization hit him that the ninja had used his shadow strike. In the split second available to him, Seiki used his arm to push himself to one side as hard as he could. At the same time, the ninja's body reappeared above him, his palm striking down, missing Seiki by a hair's breadth.
"Shurikens!"
cried Fuyu, and both Seiki and Taka rolled out of the way. Seiki was not sure if her projectiles could hurt him, but he could not take any chances now. It turned out to be a bluff, and no shurikens came, but it saved Seiki from a tight spot. Having just used his shadow strike to escape from Seiki's grasp, Taka was again out of energy. He could only swing his glaive at Fuyu, who, after managing to land a quick kick on his thigh, had leapt up onto another table. Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, HP 2013 of 2852. Poisoned. Energy 613 of 1512. Fuyu of Ichikeya. Level 15, HP 1389 of 1432, energy 317 of 676. Seiki was starting to understand what Fuyu was doing. She had been very careful with the selection of her gear and had put on a mixture of pieces that gave her extra health, health recovery, and energy regeneration. After the initial show of the special moves, she had been saving up her energy. Being poisoned, Taka was slowly losing health. Although it was not a significant amount, it was starting to add up. Out of nowhere, Taka let out a yell and the air seemed to shimmer around him. Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, HP 1892 of 2852, energy 1 of 1512.
"Purifying will,"
breathed Fuyu, seemingly genuinely surprised.
"I didn't know you had that."
Seiki thought she sounded a little worried, but he was not sure for what reason. Seiki took a quick glance. Purifying will, ability information. Trade all remaining energy to cleanse effects of poisons, curses, and hypnoses. Only usable when the user's remaining energy is more than or equal to half the total yet to be applied damage from said poisons, curses, or hypnoses, or when the time required to generate that amount of energy is less than or equal to half the remaining time left on the poisons, curses, or hypnoses, whichever applies. Wrapping his mind around it, Seiki quickly concluded that you could trade 1 point of energy to save 2 points of health, but it was always a total drain. So Taka had been right in waiting for his energy to get this low before using it. At this point, even when Taka had no energy left, his remaining health was still more than Seiki's and Fuyu's combined. Without the slowing effect from the poison, a single hit from him would have dire consequences. Fuyu was obviously aware of this as she kept moving around. It would be a while until Taka could use his special abilities, but he did not even need one to kill Seiki. That must have been Taka's thought as well, as he changed his target. No longer hampered, the man was quick on his feet. Seiki had to do everything to avoid the circular blade as the silver glaive cleaved a nearby bench in half. He rolled into a run and kicked another bench backward at the pursuing ninja. Taka blocked with his glaive. The bench shattered but did no damage. Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19,
HP, 1893 of 2852. Energy, 47 of 1512. Seiki glanced in the direction of Fuyu, but she was nowhere to be found. Seiki knew that once Taka had zeroed in on him, his hope was slim. All he could do was give Fuyu a chance to attack for as long as he could. Unfortunately, he could not keep running from the ninja forever. The tables and benches, which had to this point served as decent protection, had almost all been wrecked. Once it was level ground, there would be no way to avoid taking any damage, especially once Taka's energy allowed for another shurikens or spinning blade. Since he could not afford even a single hit, Seiki did not know what to do except to risk it all. Going for broke, Seiki spun around and slid onto the ground. In a flash, Taka was above him, slashing down with his glaive. Seiki had already been aiming for the man's elbow. His left hand shot up in a wide sweep, knocking the weapon arm aside. This would have been a perfect block if their level had been equal, but Seiki felt numbing pain spreading up his whole arm, and his life dipped to the low 20s. Still, that was his bet, that he would be able to survive this move. That was all he needed. Seiki's leg had already swept to the side to trip the man, and as the ninja stumbled, Seiki turned into position, ready to pin him to the floor. After all, he knew his ground game. Although he would be waking up in the morgue pretty soon, at least he had done his best. With his health abysmally low, Seiki's vision blurred. He thought he heard Fuyu's voice behind him.
Seiki-san, do you know what ninjas are most feared for?
Seiki didn't, but obviously Taka did, and he tried to violently twist around. It was too late. With a flutter of her purple sleeves, Fuyu popped up behind him and planted a long, curved dagger deep into Taka's back.
Assassin's stab,
said Fuyu, her hand still gripping the hilt of the crimson dagger. Her tone was serious, and she said in an ominous whisper,
It ignores all armor.
Seiki was confused for a moment. Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, HP 1402 of 2852, energy 47 of 1512. Fuyu of Ichikea, level 15, HP 1411 of 1432, energy 17 of 1676. The battle was far from over. Taka still had half his health left. Their adversary had turned his head around and his eyes widened in shock as he recognized the dagger.
Fang of the Blood Moon, he said hoarsely. How?
Then he stopped himself and pulled a wry face.
Cheater, he whispered.
His life started to drain rapidly and with a gasp he went still. Taka of the Shadow Manor, level 19, HP 0 of 2852. Not lootable. Seiki noticed that Fuyu had turned deathly pale.
Taka-san, you should know by now.
Her voice was so weak it could hardly be heard.
That's what ninjas are all about.
Then she dropped dead as well. In the midst of his confusion, Seiki heard a gentle explosion and both their bodies vaporized into black smoke. Challenge ends. Ichikea territory successfully defended. Achievement earned. First PvP battle. 75 XP gained. Achievement earned. Defense. 250 XP gained. Congratulations. You have reached level 7. HP increased to 159. Max energy increased to 106. You can now venture beyond the city plains. Seiki shivered as his health and energy filled, and the rapid information and leveling joy rushed through him like a splash of cold water. He was not sure he liked leveling when he was so low on health, as it felt more like an electric jolt then. Still breathing heavily, Seiki looked around, remembering where he was. The sun seemed to have just set outside and was now in a shade of dark blue. The first floor of the inn was brightly lit up with red and yellow lamps along the walls. It must have happened sometime during the fight, but he had not taken any notice. Then he heard applause and cheers from the crowd. A strange feeling washed over him, and he felt sick in the pit of his stomach. Excited conversations had risen in the audience, and people shifted and moved around. Some were preparing to leave. Seiki picked himself up from the floor. Someone approached him. Seiki blinked and saw that it was Hatsuo. Now that he no longer had on a frown, Seiki could remark he was a person of friendly demeanor.
Seiki-san, come sit over here.
The man seemed very pleased. A few people who had been watching the challenge came up to congratulate him, most of them rambling about something that he could not quite understand. Seiki had always been rather indifferent to crowds, and right now he simply wished they would quiet down and leave him alone. The furniture wreckage on the floor had started to fade and was slowly replaced by newly generated pieces.
Hatsuo led Seki to a table in the corner, away from the crowd. Someone poured him a cup of tea, which Seki downed in one gulp. Seki just noticed that his fingers were trembling and his breath was short and shaky. During the fight, he had completely forgotten about the audience. Now that he saw them there, with their carefree applause and cheerful faces, it felt shockingly familiar. It reminded him of another life that seemed already so far away. The spectators were now only conversing amiably among themselves, but in his ears he could hear echoes of screaming voices like packs of rabid animals that instilled in him a deep sense of dread. As Seki fought to suppress the feeling, it mutated into a growing panic. Shivering, Seki leaned back against the wall. He buried his face in his hands as he breathed to calm himself down, concentrating on nothing but the sense of his existence. When he finally opened his eyes again, the crowd had thinned, and he was thankful no one was paying him any attention. He could see Hatsuo talking and laughing with the last of the guests who were just leaving. After saying farewell, the man turned and walked to his table. Noticing the empty cup, he asked,
"Seki-san, would you like some more tea?"
Seki looked up at him. The man seemed genuinely good-natured.
"Maybe something stronger?" Seki managed to say, rather breathlessly.
Hatsuo chuckled and shouted to someone to bring sake. Seki had started his martial arts training way before drinking age. His teachers and coaches had always frowned on the substance, so he had never developed a drinking habit. But right now, he felt he could really use something to numb his brain. He drank 4 cups in succession, so quickly that he could not even taste the dry flavor of the sake. "You are now 10% drunk." The notification caused Seki to start laughing, and he simply could not stop until his sides ached and his eyes watered. Hatsuo gave him a puzzled look, but Seki did not care.
"Come, Hatsuo-san," said Seki, choosing to adhere to the code of politeness when it came to terms of address. "Have one with me."
Hatsuo smiled, and they downed a cup each. Seki sighed. Now that his strong emotions were starting to subside, he was beginning to feel rather exhausted. From the street, sounds of gallops drew near, and a black horse pulled up in front of the inn. Fuyu leapt off and made her grand entrance through the front door.
"Just another day at Ichikeya," she announced happily.
She greeted the few people who had lingered behind and made her way toward Seki. Back in full health, her cheeks flushing from excitement, she plopped herself down opposite him.
"You probably have questions, Seki-san, but first I have a confession to make."
Her expression turned very serious.
"I did not expect you to live through that, and I tricked you into accepting the challenge. I'm sorry."
Seki did not expect that from her, and he could only stare back without a word. It had never crossed his mind that she should have anything to apologize for. Then, just like that, she beamed and her eyes brightened with admiration.
"But you were great, Seki-san. I really underestimated you."
She turned to pull on Hatsuo's sleeves in a childish manner.
"Hatsuo, don't you think Seki-san is great? Fuyu-chan is really impressed."
A new understanding hit Seki, something that had not made sense until now. With all her dramatic theatrics, weaving in and out of being completely in character, annoying enemies, and flirting with friends, Seki realized that this girl, whoever she was having a tremendous amount of fun with being Fuyu. And for some reason, that fact comforted him. Wasn't he, too, enjoying being Seki right now? At that instant, everything made a lot of sense, and it was liberating. Seki shook his head and let out a big breath. "You're good," he said. Fuyu smiled very slightly, and Seki knew she understood his meaning. The moment quickly passed. She pulled Hatsuo down to sit at the table beside her and ordered someone to bring more sake.
"All right, Seki-san, you can ask questions."
A new sense of enthusiasm had filled Seki. "That dagger," he said. She took the weapon from her obi and slid it across the table over to him. The curved dagger rested in a dark crimson sheath with jeweled patterns that resembled petals and clouds. Seki was not sure if he was imagining things, but the blade felt as if surrounded by a strange aura of power and mystery.
"This is one of the 16 unique named blades," said Fuyu,
in her voice a hint of pride.
"Ketsuki no Kiba, Fang of the Blood Moon."
"Ketsuki no Kiba, unique, +112 attack, +1% energy regeneration. The curse of the Blood Moon drains the life of both the user and victim who come into contact with the dagger. Effect: grants the user the ability to sacrifice all remaining health to instantly kill their target, as long as their current health is more than or equal to that of the target.
There are a lot of identical weapons you can get, but there's only one of this,
she said. Then she proceeded to explain about common weapons, named weapons, and unique named weapons. Common weapons came mostly with fixed stats, but occasionally with enhancements. Named weapons were much rarer and usually had random stats, and often came with an extra enhancement or ability. Unique named weapons were the rarest, with a grand total of 16 in the entire world, and were the only kind of weapons not bound to the user, meaning that they could still be passed on to others even after they had been used, or they could be looted from the owner's dead body if they were killed. They also came with one unique effect that was not found anywhere else. You can choose whether you want to use the effect, right? Seiki asked to make sure, since he thought it would be a terrible weapon if it killed the user every time.
Yes, said Fuyu. But there's no real point in carrying it around if you don't plan to make use of the effect, since there are much better weapons out there.
She had taken the Fang of the Blood Moon in her hand and unsheathed it for him to see. The blade was double-edged and showed a tint of pink, which got darker near the hilt.
Being a unique named blade doesn't mean it's the best. It's just unique. For example, Asakiri, the Spear of Fog, is by itself a terrible weapon. But when you swing it around, it creates a very dense fog that only the user can see through.
She giggled.
Sounds silly, but that's why no one can do anything to the archers of Kyuhoho Peaks. Even now, if you want to go do the Kumagami Lair, you have to pay them a protection fee or they will shoot you dead on sight.
Seiki remembered something now that he had been wondering. You didn't have it equipped at first. If his memory served him correctly, she only had on a silver dagger when the challenge started.
That was my whole trick, said Fuyu. I had it on me, but not equipped, or Taka would have guessed what I had planned.
Seiki now completely grasped her strategy. She did not have to defeat Taka. With this dagger, she only had to bring his health down to her level of health and use it on him.
I was worried he would notice that I only had one weapon equipped,
she said,
and that he would get suspicious. But I guess it's Taka, after all.
She pursed her lips.
His master, Nichi, would have suspected something.
Seiki now just became conscious of how outclassed Taka had been against her. Still, there was one thing he did not understand. But this ability also killed you, he began.
I made sure I had a bit more health than Taka. As long as the challenger dies first, the territory is defended,
she explained.
If we had had exactly equal health, it would have been a draw, and he could have come right back to challenge us again tomorrow. Now the Shadow Manor is locked out from challenging us again for the next 7 days.
Despite all her teasing and running around, Seiki felt that the whole challenge had been well thought out. It required a lot of precision on Fuyu's part. She seemed to be recalling minute details of the challenge.
But I really didn't know Taka had gotten his hands on purifying will. That definitely made things trickier. If you hadn't been there, it would have been much more difficult.
When she realized that Seiki did not understand the significance, she went on.
It's not a ninja-specific ability. There are some abilities you can learn from rare ancient scrolls. This is one of them. And the thing is, you will never know what they have learned, so it can always be a surprise.
She nodded to herself.
Good thing Taka hasn't managed to learn his triple slash yet.
It became apparent now that they all seemed to know one another very well. Seiki suspected that this was not the first time they had fought. It was like he had taken a step into a different kind of game than he had played up until this point. What will happen to him? Seiki could not help wondering. After all, Taka's death seemed rather violent. Seiki secretly took a look at Fuyu's ability. Assassin Stab. Ability Information. Stab the target in the back. Only usable when the user is behind the target. Attack ignores all armor and luck effect. Doubles the attack power of the weapon when used to initiate combat. Concentrating further, Seiki was surprised to find he could study Fuyu's specific numbers. Assassin Stab. Fuyu of Ichikea. Level 15. Stab the target in the back for 494 damage. Only usable when the user is behind the target. Attack ignores all armor and luck effect. Doubles the attack power of the weapon when the ability is used to initiate combat. Required energy, 552. Ability modification, none. Enhancement, none. Fuyu did not seem to take notice that he was looking and shrugged.
Well, I didn't see him at the morgue, so I guess he chose to resurrect in his clan's spirit shrine. And he's probably going to get grounded by his clan leader for a while.
She put her fingers to her lips.
You see, he was hasty in challenging us all by himself. What was he going to do, anyway? Even if he won and went upstairs, Mimura-sama was simply going to kill him in one stroke. Now he's got the whole Shadow Manor locked out for a week.
Can I ask what was in that box that I gave to Mimura? Fuyu shook her head.
That's for Mimura-sama to share, if he wishes to.
Seki thought for a moment. What should I do right now? He asked.
Seki-san, I really don't know how you managed to live through the challenge, but don't you think it's about time to get yourself a few more abilities? You'll make a good samurai,
she said. Then she added,
or a ronin.
Seki thought he had heard that before. After all that happened today, he felt he was already decently educated in the ways of the ninjas, but as for the other classes, he still had not a single clue. What's the difference?
They start out the same,
said Fuyu.
And then they diverge,
she concluded mysteriously, and Seki could not get her to say anything more about it.
You'll see when the time comes, Seki-san,
she said.
And for the sake of the Kami-sama, deliver that manji letter already. And stop walking around so casually with a freaking blood essence on you. I'm surprised you haven't got robbed.
How did you know about that? He asked, surprised. Fuyu flashed one of her ambiguous smiles.
It's our business at Ichikeya to know things, Seki-san. Now off you go.
You are no longer in a group with Fuyu, level 15. Seki thought he felt a little wistful when he walked out of the inn into the street outside, which was now lit with lovely red lamps. Chapter 7 Behind the bamboo counter, Goro, a small, well-dressed man with a tiny mustache, was flipping through a thick pile of parchment. After a bit of getting lost in the city's many alleyways, Seki had managed to locate him on the second floor of an unnamed building on the lively trade street, which ran across the city in a straight line from east to west. It was still rather early in the day, a cloudy one as it was turning out to be, and the air was cooler than usual, with the sun only making occasional peeps from behind the clouds. Seki had handed Manji's letter to the man, and had been waiting patiently for Goro to finish doing whatever business he had with the pile of papers. The man finally looked up, a single piece of paper in his hand.
Manji-san had asked me to help get you settled in the capital city. I found a place for you to stay for a while. Please sign here.
A place? Seki was curious. It sounded perfectly realistic. He took the document to have a look, delighted once again to be able to make sense of the Japanese characters. Territory deed. Type. Personal. Owner. Seki. Level 7. Address. Yanagi Alley, South City. Monthly maintenance fee. PvP enabled. 0. Monthly maintenance fee. PvP disabled. 0. Expiry. Never. Seki looked at the man in puzzlement.
What is this? This is a place I have found for you, Seki-san. Manji-san told me to get you settled in the capital city. It is your private lodging where you can take refuge from the outside world in troubled times. Since you are a friend of Manji's, you are welcome to use it as long as you like.
Okay, said Seki, a bit uncertain. What is it for again? It was not like he ever needed to go to sleep in this virtual realm.
You can use the place to store valuables, unused items, and conduct private meetings. Please sign at the bottom of the deed to accept it.
He handed Seki a brush already dipped in black ink.
Right, said Seki.
Storing valuables sounded reasonable.
Trust me, Seki-san. You'll find time alone quite welcoming after a while in Shinchioka.
Seki chuckled.
I guess you've got a point.
He grabbed the tool between his fingers. Having never used a brush before, signing his name as Seki was rather strange. To his amazement, as soon as he willed it, his hand automatically wrote down two graceful Japanese characters. Seki studied the lines and quickly had them memorized for the sake of knowing how to recognize his own name before handing the document back to Goro. Quest completed. Letter to Shinchioka. Level 3. 40 XP gained. Quest accepted. Home in Shinchioka. Level 3. Seki appreciated how the man spent time fanning the document with his hand and waited for the ink to dry before putting it into a pile of documents.
Perhaps you would like to go and see the place now? It is on Yanagi Alley in South City. Turn right when you go out and follow the trade street until you see the Mani Shrine. Turn right there. Yanagi Alley is the fourth lane on the left.
Just like that? Asked Seki. He had to concentrate on the quest to make sure. Home in Shinchioka. Level 3 quest information. Settle in your new home. Find your lodging at Yanagi Alley, South City. you'll receive 25 XP.
We hope you like the place, but once you have advanced in life, we have much better places to offer. Please come back if you are interested, said Goro. Of course, it will cost money.
As Seki was about to leave, Yamura, level 8, barged up the stairs and almost ran into him. He was a tall young man with a long, thin ponytail, dressed in dark leather with a dark cloak, a short bow strapped on his back.
Goro!
He yelled, running straight to the counter. The young man seemed greatly upset as he banged his fists on the countertop. Seki now thought he looked familiar, but he could not quite remember where he had seen him before. Goro looked up from his pile of documents.
Ah, Yamura-san. How can I assist you?
I was 15 minutes late.
15 minutes! Cried Yamura. You must understand, Yamura-san. There is a huge demand for lodging in the city, but I was only 15 minutes late.
Yamura rattled his pouch in his hand.
Here, I've got the money here. Which property would you like, Yamura-san?
Yamura sighed.
Fine, we can do this again. The one at the east gate. Very well. For the property on the third floor of Momiji Inn in East City, there will be an initial payment of 60 gold and a monthly payment of 15 gold onward. Is that all right?
No, cried Yamura.
I have the deed. Here. I already own the place. I just want to pay the monthly so I can get in, all right?
Goro explained patiently.
You no longer own the place, Yamura-san. Your things have been moved to your permanent lodging at Yanagi Alley in South City. You can retrieve them from there. Would you like instructions on how to get there again?
Yamura gave a frustrated grunt.
I wish I could kill you. All you had to do was deposit the fee in the box in the corner of the property. You can even make deposits in advance. Is that so hard to remember, Yamura-san?
Said Goro, snickering. Yamura was taken back by the man's sudden change of attitude and stared at him.
What did you say?
Goro continued to smile as if nothing had happened. Yamura turned to Seki.
Can you believe what he just said? Punctuality is a gentleman's virtue, said Goro, as if to no one in particular.
Yamura dropped onto the ground and lay there, hands over his eyes.
God, the train was late, all right? As if I could have done anything about it. 15 minutes. That's cruel. Goro, you bastard. Politeness takes you a long way, Yamura-san, said Goro from the counter.
Seki had to laugh. Apparently Goro was not as meek as he seemed at first. Yamura sighed and sat up cross-legged on the floor, his face buried in his hands. He let out a frustrated groan, then looked up at Seki.
Which one did you just get?
Seki was not sure what the man meant.
I just finished Manji's letter quest.
Oh, said Yamura unhappily.
You've got 60 gold I can borrow right now?
Seki shook his head. It was not a lie. There were 20 gold coins in Mamura's orange pouch, and beyond that he only had a dozen of coppers from low-level monsters around Kakura Village.
Didn't think so, Yamura muttered. I freaking hate this man!
Yamura grabbed his bow and shot 4 consecutive arrows at Goro, all of which went through him and ended up sticking to the shelf behind the man before slowly fading. Goro took no notice and kept organizing his documents. Finally, having vented his anger, Yamura heaved a long sigh and got up from the floor.
You're going to Yanagi, right? Let's go, then. I can't believe I've got to go all the way back to South City just to put back this rent money.
Rent? Seki wondered. That sounded even more realistic than anything he had heard so far. He then realized this must have been what Goro had meant earlier when he had said things would cost money.
Oh, not for that crap Yanagi Alley 1, said Yamura. But yeah, that's how you get Terry's. Or you can grind reps with the Shogun and your rent will be dirt cheap. I've heard if you're highly honored, he will even give you a room right in his palace.
Terry's? That made no sense to Seki at all, and he had no idea there was even a Shogun, or what it was that you had to do with him.
Terry's? Territories? You're new or something? Notice there aren't any banks in this game? Your Terry is the only safe place you can keep your money and stuff, or people will kill you and take all your gold. That's why I need to put back this 15 golds before some high-level bastard one-shots me.
Okay, that's perfectly realistic, Seki commented. In fact, he had been wondering when the space in his seemingly magic little cloth pouch that was bigger on the inside than the outside was going to run out. Yamura was making his way down the stairs.
Hey, you coming or what?
Seki followed the man out of the building.
Trade Street was wide enough for three horse carriages to run side by side and was starting to come to life. Opposite Goro's building was a shop selling noodles. In front of it was a peddler with a basket of bamboo toys. People galloped by on horses, and Seki thought he saw some man-drawn carts as well. Yamura kept squinting into the distance and occasionally pulled Seki to one side. Seki soon realized he was steering clear of high-level players. "They sometimes kill you for fun," Yamura explained. "Especially samurai, since they can do that mounted strike without getting off their horse. Then they just outrun the patrols out the city." Seki thought Yamura was being a little paranoid, as no one seemed to be paying them any attention. Through Yamura's patched comments and explanations, Seki was starting to understand a lot of things. There were individual territories, which only allowed access for the owner or whoever was in their group, and clan territories, which allowed access for all clan members. "But then there will always be a stupid clanmate who invites a high-level enemy in," concluded Yamura. "Then it's practically genocide in your clan, Terry." "How does that work again?" asked Seki, knowing it was one of those things that should be very obvious. He'd already guessed it, but needed to make sure. "What, an invite?" "A clan, actually." Yamura groaned. "Oh, come on. Clans are... well, you can join a clan and get a cool clan name at the end of your name, and clan members look out for each other, or at least they're supposed to." He grimaced. "But stay away from the West Hills, because they just milk you for stuff. I joined them once, but they only made me go mine all these rocks for them." "So Ichikea is basically a clan, then?" Yamura shrugged. "Never heard of them. But if it says of Ichikea or whatever, then yeah. You've got an invite to join? I'll tell you, man, the one you need to join is the Honor Warriors. They've got the highest standing with the Shogun at the moment." They were walking down the trade street. It was now full of people and patrolled by pairs of elite uniformed city guards on horses. Seki learned that you could stop them and ask for directions, which Yamura did three times, making Seki realize that the man did not know where he was going at all. "That's the Mani Shrine," said Seki, pointing to a three-storied green-roofed building behind a low white wall, as he remembered the directions he got from Goro earlier. "Oh, yeah. You can drop a silver at their prayer altar and get 2% luck for an hour. Not worth it, though," said Yamura, before continuing to explain the perks of joining the Honor Warriors. They turned the corner around Mani Shrine and found themselves on a tranquil street, heavily shaded by big trees planted along the inside of the shrine grounds. Seki thought he could smell the faint incense and hear gentle clanging of bells from within the shrine, and he made a mental note to come see it later. The street in front of them was rather narrow and hosted mostly single-storied buildings, the majority of which seemed to be closed off behind wooden and bamboo fences. Seki noticed how quiet it was, and on such a cloudy day it had a gentle lull to it. He could hear the wind rustling the leaves and the tender trickle of water somewhere ahead. "Welcome to South City. PvP status, disabled." "Can't believe I'm back in the land of the Lobies," Yamura lamented. He was right. Seki discovered that everyone seemed to be level 6 or lower, since this was the part of Shinchioka that people first arrived in after being sent out of Kakura Village. Seki thought back and realized he must have been doing everything in the wrong order. In an open courtyard, Seki could see Yumi, level 3, running around chasing chickens into a cage. An old man was sitting on the porch giving instructions. It reminded him of the idyllic Kakura Village, and Seki decided that he rather liked it. Yamura was still talking about how many rep points one needed to be accepted by the Honor Warriors. Without warning, a man dashed past them from behind, almost knocking Yamura over. "Hey, watch it!" cried Yamura. Short-haired, cleanly shaven, with a long sword strapped across his back, Isuke of the Fuoka Army, level 22, HP 236 of 5228, stopped and looked back behind him, paying no attention to Yamura's protest. Seki remarked that the man's clothes were torn and he was bleeding heavily from a long diagonal gash across his chest, which was leaving a long blood trail behind him. The sight of the gaping wound startled Seki, but the man did not seem to be in pain. Three people on horses almost immediately caught up with him. Taiora of the Rogami clan, level 27, Kojiro of the Rogami clan, level 22, and Suguru of the Rogami clan, level 23, reined their horses to a walk once they had reached the injured man, and they formed a loose circle around him. Taiora's white horse was heavily armored, and it snorted. "Coward," said Kojiro. He had on a long-sleeved white open shirt and a black headband, a bare, large blade strapped on his back. Now that Seki knew what to look for, he took a quick glance at the weapon.
Oni Cleaver, plus 98 attack, minus 25 defense. Damage, 6.2. Speed, 0.6. Plus 1% energy regeneration. Aisuke ignored the three riders and kept walking, his blood still dripping on the ground beneath him.
"Accept the challenge, coward," said Suguru,
a thin pale man in a long gray kimono. He held no apparent weapon but had on his back a large leather sack. Seki figured the wounded man had run into a non-PvP zone, so the only way the three Rogami members could attack him was via challenge. Now that Aisuke was no longer in combat, his wounds were slowly closing and his health started to recover.
"One-on-one, you and me," said Kojiro,
urging his horse along once Aisuke had made his way through their circle.
"Or are you scared?"
Aisuke made no answer. Suguru spat.
"So this is a lieutenant of the Fuoka army, running with his tail between his legs?"
Seki now remembered where he had seen one of them before. Taiora was one of the two people who he ran into in the pine woods of Kakura Village, those who had threatened to kill him for the blood orb. Aisuke tensed as he heard that last sentence, but he did not stop walking, his eyes still fixed ahead. Suguru took notice of the reaction and continued,
"How long do you think we will be able to keep your friend Takeru alive? 2 minutes? 5?
A vicious smile matched his frigid tone.
"You know Rieko is good with her life drain."
That apparently struck a sore spot, and Aisuke spun around, his eyes burning with defiant anger. That's when Seki shouted,
"Sorry to interrupt you guys."
They all paused and turned around in surprise. Seki continued,
"Do you know how I can get to Yanagi Alley?"
Aisuke's health had not recovered by a third yet. If he was provoked into accepting the challenge, there was no way he would stand a chance against them. Although Seki could not be sure what had happened between them, based on his own experience at Kakura, he was quite certain whose side he was on.
"What are you doing?" whispered Yamura with a frown.
Seki racked his brain for something to say as he continued to shout,
"That guy Goro told me to turn right after Mani Shrine, but I can't seem to remember where to go next."
He knew this was a terrible script. After all, he had never been a good liar. All four men stared at him for a second before Aisuke realized what was happening and regained his composure.
"Of course," Aisuke said aloud. "I'm going there myself. I'll show you."
Kojiro looked back at Aisuke before coming to the same realization. He scoffed in disgust.
"You coward."
"You can't hide forever, Aisuke," said Suguru. "We know where to find you."
Aisuke had stopped walking and waited for Seki to catch up. The eyes of the three Rogami clan members seemed to burn on his back as Seki went past them. Although there was nothing they could do right now in the safety of the South City, Seki could feel the air around him bristling with a sense of danger.
"Yamura, are you coming?"
Seki called as casually as he could manage. Yamura took a nervous glance at the three riders and dashed towards Seki.
Yes. Let's all go to Yanagi Alley."
He shot Seki a dark look. Suguru shook his head and sneered.
"Hiding behind these lowlifes? I expected more of you, Lieutenant of the Fuoka Army."
Aisuke clenched his fist and Seki quickly said,
"Yamura just lost his, apartment, right?"
Yamura blinked, then muttered,
"Oh, right, yes."
Then, as he became conscious there was no more way to go unnoticed now, he went all out with it.
"I worked so hard for that third floor place at the East Gate. Now, you high-level people wouldn't think that's worth anything, but that was 60 gold of my hard-earned money."
He pointed at them angrily with the bow in his hand.
"Talking about class struggle over here."
The three Rogami members stared at him for a moment, perhaps at how the accusation made no sense. Then Taiora, who had been silent this whole time, sneered,
"Let this coward go for the time being."
He turned his horse and started galloping away, followed by Kojiro. If he had remembered Seki, his expression did not show it.
"It seems you'll live after all, Aisuke-chan,"
said Suguru as he followed his two clanmates.
"At least for today. This isn't over."
Seki noticed then that Suguru's gray horse did not cast a shadow, but it was already too far away for him to inspect it. As soon as the three riders disappeared around the corner of Mani Shrine, Yamura spun around and glared at Seki.
"Okay, now we're totally screwed."
"They might kill you a few times if they see you, but they'll soon forget about it," Aisuke said. "The main quarrel is with me."
His wounds had completely healed now, and the blood on his clothes was slowly fading, leaving only a large tear across the front of his shirt. His health had crept up to about half.
Say hello to getting one shot every time you try to go out,
Yamura groaned.
You'd better quickly join the honor warriors then, said Isuke, hiding an amused smile.
The man had heard the earlier conversation after all.